Hello, I'm Chris Barrow with the BBC News. For a second night running, Russia's defence ministry is claiming to have thwarted a major offensive by Ukrainian forces in the occupied eastern region of Donetsk. The statement has not been independently verified. Elsa Orkney reports.
Russia's statement comes after another day of conflicting reports from the invaders and the defenders. Moscow says its forces again inflicted huge losses in personnel and equipment, including the destruction of 8 Western-supplied Leopard tanks. Ukraine didn't comment on this, but said its air defence was repelling Russian attacks around Kyiv. It says that in Kharkiv, in the northeast, Russian forces fired missiles at 2 districts, but didn't mention casualties. Earlier, President Zelensky praised the performance of Ukrainian soldiers in the embattled city of Bakhmut in Donetsk, but he didn't elaborate.
Ukrainian and Russian sources are contradicting each other over a possible serious dam burst in southern Ukraine. The Ukrainian military claims that Russian forces have blown up the Novokakhovka Dam on the Dnipro River upstream of Kherson, threatening serious flooding of the city. Russian media say that a local Moscow-installed mayor is denying it. China and the United States have spoken of progress in agreeing to maintain communications after a period of strained relations. Statements from Washington and Beijing on meetings between senior American and Chinese diplomats in China describe the talks as candid and productive. The International Council of Nurses has described the recruitment of nurses from poorer countries to richer ones as out of control. The comments follow a BBC investigation in Ghana, which found that hospitals have been left perilously short of trained staff. Naomi Grimley reports.
More than 1,200 Ghanaians joined the UK's nursing register last year. We visited 2 hospitals in the West African country, which between them had lost more than 40 intensive care nurses to wealthier countries, including to the UK in particular. We visited smaller clinics too, where the effects of brain drain are clear to see.
Officials in Haiti say at least 42 people have died since torrential rain caused widespread flooding. The worst affected city is Léogâne. Phoebe Hobson reports.
Local media shows people wading through vast streams of brown water. Dozens are dead and many are feared missing. The floods have affected half of Haiti's departments. More than 13,000 homes have been damaged in some capacity, and there are warnings it's just the start of hurricane season. Vital crops have been destroyed while the Caribbean nation faces food insecurity. Rescue operations are made harder by Haiti's ongoing problem with criminal gangs, which control many areas.
BBC News. US regulators are suing the world's largest crypto exchange, Binance, and its creator, Changpeng Zhao, for operating what they call a web of deception. The Securities and Exchange Commission accused Binance, which bought and sold Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, of misusing customer funds, even sending them to other companies controlled by Changpeng Zhao. Binance said it would defend itself vigorously against the charges. They come as the US pledged to use its laws more aggressively to oversee the crypto industry. They follow the collapse of a rival trading platform, FTX. Qatar's Labour Minister has been appointed to head the International Labour Organization's annual conference, despite concerns about working conditions in the Gulf state. The appointment of Ali bin Samik Al-Mari was proposed by Asian and Pacific nations. Jessica McCallin has the details.
Qatar is no stranger to criticism about its labour rights. The issue came to prominence again last year in the run-up to it hosting the World Cup, when unions pointed out how many migrant labourers had been killed or injured building the tournament's infrastructure. So when Qatar was selected to head this year's ILO conference, some workers' rights groups asked that the move be put to a vote rather than approved by the traditional acclamation. In the end, a deal was reached, and unions have said that they will accept Mr. Al-Mahdi's appointment.
King Charles's younger son, Prince Harry, is due to begin giving evidence in his case in London today, making him the first senior member of the royal family in more than 130 years to testify in court. He's suing Mirror Group newspapers for damages, claiming its journalists were involved in unlawfully gathering information about him, including by phone hacking and the use of private investigators. Mirror Group has denied phone hacking in this case, but has admitted to an earlier instance of gathering information about him illegally. That's the latest BBC News.